John chapter 14, going to begin reading at verse 1. Hear God's word. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is God's holy and infallible word. As the old King James translation says in that first verse, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. Have you ever thought about heaven as a place of mansions? Not just a place where you can go and, like at a hotel, and get a room, but more of a suite of mansions. My mom talked about that. She had something that fell out of her Bible several months ago. I found it, typed it up, and used it actually when I spoke over at Oak Grove, when I looked at this text together with them. This is what my mom wrote down. In my Father's house are many mansions. She said, sometimes we wonder why we have to go through trials and afflictions in this life. I found out it's so that the Lord can alienate us from the material things of this world. Having gone through the trials of selling a home, and she did that many times, a home here, I was very downhearted until it came to me that the mansion that is being prepared for me in heaven is ready and waiting. It has already been paid for with Jesus' precious blood. I don't have to have a down payment or good credit ratings. Best of all, the home I'm leaving down here, I won't have to sell first before I move right into heaven if Jesus should come soon. I don't wait until they get Chicago title and trust. I have the guarantee policy in his word that home is mine. I won't have to wait for a buy of my home to get necessary credit ratings and financial assistance. I'm just going to leave it. And she did. Sometimes the Lord moves in mysterious ways when we get too comfortable down here and think that there's no other place in the world that we could possibly live. I suppose this is one reason for our moving to another state. She was talking about moving to Michigan at the time. And the commission I have to pay for the selling of my home, I don't have to pay it. Jesus has paid all of this for me. Not by any works of mine, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And then there's the fear that if you sell your house here, the one that you move into won't be ready. No, I'm so grateful that those mansions in glory are always ready and waiting. I was moved by that because my mom never really talked about those things, but she wrote it out carefully, and I find it a testimony to God's grace in her life. Well, I knew mom's work, or mom's love for the Lord. I grew up, and in our home, every day, turned on the radio, and she listened to Through the Bible broadcast, which had been continued to be broadcast even years and years after the death of Dr. J. Vernon McGee, who had the biggest Texas accent you ever could hear. But he taught from the Bible. My mom listened to that and read through the Bible every day. So I'm not really surprised at my mom's words about the mansions in heaven. In fact, it moves us to look at this wonderful text in John 14, and I want to do so with you, to show you about the glory of that truth that my mom talked about in her note about mansions and her home, her mansion, where she's at right now, in glory. Remember, Jesus was speaking to deeply troubled hearts. His disciples, they were in a bad way. As we come to John 14, we come to the passage where Jesus would tell them several things. He would tell them, first of all, one of the disciples would betray him. And not only would he be betrayed, but he would have to die. And remember, he even gave a warning to Peter, who was about ready to do what? Deny Jesus Christ. All of these things were going through the troubled hearts of these believers. And he turns to them and he says, and it's a very forceful statement, stop letting your hearts be troubled. It's a command. It's not just a statement. It's a command. Stop letting your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Why? Because I am going to my Father's house and I am preparing a place for you. He comforts these disciples with the truth of going to heaven, the truth that he was going to prepare a place for them in my Father's house. Now, we're looking ahead to having a memorial service in June for my mother, and of course we're inviting all of the family. So we've got California kids, we've got Texas kids, we've got Florida brother, we've got Grand Michigan brother, Michigan, all family from all over. They've got to find what? A place to stay. Unfortunately, they can't stay at my house. Well, fortunately, they can't stay at my house. We're looking to get a hotel. We're looking for a place where they can find a place to rest. When Jesus talks about my Father's house, really, that's kind of what he's talking about. It's a place of rest, joy, and peace. My Father's house, a place that is so wonderful. You're loved to the end. You're never forgotten. You're always welcome. It's the dwelling place of God. But it's God's home, it's God's dwelling place, and it's the place where he says there is room for everyone who knows and trusts in him. Notice that Jesus said, I'm not going to prepare just a room, not a monk's cell, not a broom closet. You know, some of our houses and homes, if we had to push all of the family members in somewhere, you'd be kind of surprised at where you kind of make room for them if you had to. But Jesus says, no, God has got a mansion, and there are beautiful rooms there, a royal suite in my Father's house. And he says this, and he guarantees it. He says there's ample room for all who trust in him. He is going to prepare a place for us so that he can give us the assurance now that we will arrive there in our future home. You know, that's the guarantee and the warranty. You know, if you go to rent a motel online, you put your credit card in, they take your credit card and you get a little bit of an assurance. But have you ever gone to a motel and there's been a problem? And you have to go to a different motel or a different room because something went wrong. Nothing's gone wrong with the heavenly mansions that Christ is preparing for us. That future home is a home that we are guaranteed by him and by his word, because he died on the cross and purchased the right for every believing sinner to come to heaven, and heaven's going to be ready for us. God's expecting us. There's going to be a time when he says, it's time for you to come home to that prepared place. And heaven is a prepared place, and it's for people who are prepared. Prepared by trusting in Jesus Christ. And the people who receive that promise are those who are his disciples, his followers, and believers. They are the prepared people, and Jesus says, I'm coming for you. I want you to see that, especially in this passage, that he says in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and do what? I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is coming to take you home. Personally, he is coming to take you. He says, I will come again and take you to do what? To be, literally, face to face with me. You will always be where he is, present with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the one whom the angels worship and the hosts of heaven adore. And the language that he uses here is a language of comfort. He says, I will bring you to be face to face with me. He's not satisfied with merely bringing them to heaven. You know, he doesn't bring us to heaven and say, well, just look around and see if you can find a place. No, he's the one who ushers us into his presence, takes us into his embrace, holds and loves us with his love forever, because we are the people who trust in him, and he loves his people, and he invites his people to trust in him. That's what this passage teaches. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples needed to trust in him. Remember, they were about to lose him. They were not able to follow their leader. They were confused. They were uncertain of the future. They were pained with the thought of the fact that Jesus himself was going to die and depart from them. And one of those persons was going to betray Jesus, and Peter denied him, and Peter's faith was about to shatter. All of this was taking place in the trembling hearts of these disciples. Profoundly upset, the hearts were filled with a medley of emotions. Sad because of that gloomy prospect of Christ's departure. Ashamed because of their selfishness and their pride. You remember those incidents. Perplexed because of the prediction that one of them would betray the master, another would deny him, and finally he would be ensnared by death. How can one who is about to be betrayed be the Messiah? And yet at that time, they loved him. They hope against hope. And all this is implied in the words, stop letting your hearts be troubled. Trust in me. Continue to trust. It's a call to faith. Faith in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the one who performs all things by his sovereign power. Trust in him. This is Jesus saying that I will continue to provide for you in every need. So stop letting your hearts be troubled. Be comforted. Comforted in knowing that God knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for you and for me today. We today can say with the scripture, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. That's what these disciples needed to know. Jesus knew the grief of their hearts. He knew their pain. He knew their affliction. And to those hurting hearts, he turns to them and he says, believe in me. Believe in God. Stop letting your hearts be troubled. Why does he point them to God? Well, who's on the throne? Who is on the throne? God. He is Lord of all. And the scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? All of those troubles of no significance. All of those trials, something that we can just ignore. Believe in God. Trust also in me. Trust in the promises that he has given. All of God's dealings with us are stamped, and they're marked with covenant mercy and love and faithfulness. And the scripture tells us that he will never, ever, ever let us go. That's why Jesus says, trust also in me. Trust in him. Be prepared for heaven, because that is the place of safety and enjoyment. That is the home to which you will go when the Lord calls you home. Believer, you and I ought to live each day with the song on our hearts that says, I will see Jesus. You know, if I were going through trials and tribulations, I think that would be the best medicine for me to think about. I will see Jesus. Jesus, who is preparing a place for me. A mansion in heaven. I have to ask you then, are you prepared for heaven? Do you know Jesus? Do you trust in him? Have you given him your heart, your life? And are you prepared for that moment in glory when Jesus comes for you and takes you to be with himself? How thankful we should be for this wonderful truth that Jesus is gone to prepare mansions in heaven for us. But he's not just making a place for us to go. He's making a place for us in which we will dwell with him. We shall see him. We shall be with him forever and ever. And to that end, this scripture points us to trust in him as well. Let us pray together.